Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today we'll be discussing spiritual resilience in the face of health problems and other challenging situations. I'll be joined by Deacon Don Grossnickel, who was recently diagnosed with acute heart failure. So how did he handle the news, and what role is God playing in his life as he approaches the future? Well, stay tuned to find out. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Deacon Don Grossnickel. Deacon Don served the Archdiocese of Chicago for many years as a disability outreach coordinator, and he still serves the Archdiocese today in his regular deacon duties. His job as disability advocate, though, tied into his work as founder of the Gridiron Alliance, an organization that supports high school athletes who've suffered spinal cord injuries. The deacon would help these young people adjust to their new situations and also develop in them spiritual resilience that would help them deal with their futures. Well, in May 2016, Deacon Don needed some spiritual resilience of his own after he was diagnosed with acute heart failure. So, how did this man of God respond to his diagnosis? We're going to find out today. Joining me now to share his struggles and also to help others in need of their own reservoir of spiritual resilience, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Deacon Don Grossnickel. Deacon Don, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, I'm very, very happy to be with you, Tony.
Now, I mentioned in my introduction that you were diagnosed with stage 4 heart failure in May of 2016. Now, did you have a history of heart problems, or was this completely unexpected?
Completely unexpected, Tony. My family has some history, but it was just shortness of breath that brought me to my physician, and now my kind of world was turned upside down.
Wow. Well, what exactly does acute heart failure mean? Because it sounds like something that you can't live with, but you are obviously and thankfully still alive and kicking.
Well, acute cardiomyopathy is my condition, really. Mm-hmm. Dilated cardiomyopathy really is a situation where the heart muscle itself has lost its ability to be functional. And it is failed. It's generally irreversible for my type. And instead of having a normal pumping action out of the left ventricle, mine is severely limited. So if we can keep it steady, I can keep alive. If we lose the ability to have it function, I will go on to the next life.
Wow. Well, as a deacon in the Archdiocese of Chicago, you're someone who's grounded in your faith. But when something like this happens, I think it's natural to question God or even get angry at God. What was your spiritual reaction to this news?
Well, I think I was certainly shocked. I was surprised. I'm a regular guy that attends to my physician and all the care that goes with that. So there was certainly a dark cloud that came over me from the get-go. But I look upon my relationship with the Lord as a dance, and there was never a question that the Lord was doing anything to me. So with the Lord's help, my optimism is always going to carry the day. So I think I made the switch pretty quickly, Tony, to shock and surprised when my cardiologist said that, 10 years was something to smile at, 5 years was something to smile at, and maybe even 2 years was something to smile at. I had to really pick myself up off the floor when he got through with his wires inside of my heart, with the angiogram and
right.
And came in. So I really had to click into my faith and my optimism.
Right, right. I'm talking to Deacon Don Grossnickel. We're talking about spiritual resilience in the face of a dire medical diagnosis. He was diagnosed with stage 4 acute heart failure. We're talking about that now. And people may not know that for many years you were chairman of the Gridiron Alliance, which you founded. So tell us about that organization and how it might have planted the seeds of the spiritual resilience that you yourself need now.
Tony, that's a wonderful question, and I hope the listeners will tune into the reality that in sports, I encountered in 1999 a boy in our parish that broke his neck playing high school football, and he became a quadriplegic breathing by means of a ventilator. And my relationship with Rob Camosa is well known, and I prayed with him every day for 3 years as he, like me, adjusted to dire news. And from that, we reached out, and say for 15 years, I became intimately involved with those with the catastrophic injury, and learned so very much about how attitude and a faith life can take us back from what I would call a Humpty Dumpty kind of great fall to have the ability to respond and transform our life, that is, with the help of the Lord and the Holy Spirit.
Sure. Well, how difficult was it for you to get these young athletes to see that their lives weren't over because of the injuries, but that they would have to approach life in a new way and with a new attitude, especially in conjunction with God, because I'm sure you were praying with them and counseling them and mentoring them?
Well, yes. Our three-way prayer with God and the Holy Spirit and each of the boys, we had our dialogues about it, and it takes time. I think resilience is a toolbox that you begin really practicing in earnest when the chips are down. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be something other than a Humpty Dumpty, it's a choice. And so the boys have taught me many lessons, and of course it all centers, Tony, as we know about attitude and the psychology of self-control and choice and those kinds of things. So really, I think it really comes down to perceiving life as a gift, and each of the boys taught me that every day can be a gift if that's what we choose to make it. And God, and like the Christophers, it's all a matter of lighting the candle and being realistic about the dark, about the darkness, but being smart enough, wise enough, and gifted enough to move through it by lighting the candle.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Deacon Don Grossnickel. He is talking about spiritual resilience. He used to work with an organization. He was the founder called Gridiron Alliance, in which they helped young athletes who suffered spinal cord injuries. And he also wrote a book about some of these young athletes called Unbreakable Resilience, Leap of Faith Stories to Live By. But Deacon Don, now tell me, you had to be a source of optimism for these young people. But was that optimism sometimes a struggle for you yourself when you witnessed their pain and struggle? Because I'm guessing you've also felt that pain and struggle in your own soul when you watched them.
Yes, that's very insightful. I cried many times, sometimes with them and their families. And we found a way, you know, through the anxiety, the emotion, the fears, the grief of that which was lost, and the tools that came through, Tony, are like grounded in Scripture. Jesus offers to take our load. It's easy. Jesus calms the sea. What a friend we have in Jesus were really very important scriptures that we talked about often. It's a bumpy ride for those of us, you know, that face death and an uncertain today. And when you are totally paralyzed in body form, everything really rests on your heart and your spirit, your soul, and it was many tough times. We looked at ourselves as paralyzed in so many ways, and to find our way out of the containment of the practical nature of physical paralysis was a gift of the Spirit, really, and we did it together. And I'll say all glory and honor to God and to them. They found a way.
Yeah. Well, you had indicated to me in one of our correspondences that you and Cardinal Francis George had some conversation years ago about spiritual resilience. What did you learn from those conversations?
Yes. Well, I loved Cardinal George, and his polio and his own resilience was amazing to move to one of the great leadership positions in the Catholic Church as a broken child with polio was amazing. And we had long discussions about it. And Cardinal George, you see, had an incredibly strong spiritual life, so much so that really he could not see himself as a crippled man. And I took great strength from that. But together, we knew that we had to raise the flag and that people needed Cardinal George and Cardinal Bernardine to be strong and to tell them, if I can do it, so can you. And that was the upshot. The Cardinal appointed me the Vicar for Persons with Disability in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I have done my best to spread the optimism that Cardinal Francis George gave to me, and together we had very, very good times, and I miss the Cardinal very much.
Yeah. Is that a common position in dioceses around the country, outreach coordinator for people with disabilities, or was that new at the time?
Well, in Thanksgiving, the Catholic Church really manifests its outreach to persons with disabilities in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Some are stronger than others. Some philosophies really project, you know, from the local ordinary, from the bishop. And so we have a program here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Some would say we have room for improvement. And, you know, I think that some programs throughout the country are stronger than others, but we all share the same common goal, and that is to walk the journey together and to tap into the great power of Christ.
I'm talking to Deacon Don Grossnickel. We're discussing developing spiritual resilience in the face of bad health news. And, I mean, receiving this kind of bad health news, you could have easily fallen into depression and despair, I think, if it wasn't for your faith. So for people who are going through something similar, how important is it to establish that peace of mind in these kinds of situations? And how have you overcome any kind of struggles with this whole process yourself that other people can maybe apply to their own lives?
Well, Tony, I think that question really taps into what our purpose is in life and what we can do until it's time to say goodbye. For me, I'm project-oriented. I have a great ministry trying to raise support for a clinic in Uganda, Africa, for moms and babies with malaria.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have a focus on using my life for others. That's what I said at ordination, and I mean it. But yes, I do have the clouds of depression that come my way, and I am concerned always about will I have the ability to keep going. But what really has challenged me, Tony, is that there really needs to be much more support for people and their spirituality and their resilience in these times. If you're in a hospital setting, you might have a chaplain. But otherwise, to whom can you turn?
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to be a good reader. So the work of Norman Cousins in Anatomy of Illness, Faith, Hope, and Healing by Bernie Siegel, are resources that I'm digesting and sharing. I'm a member of the heart failure clinic here locally. I'm doing my exercise. I'm doing my diets. My lifestyle change has been almost total.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a willingness to thank God for each day as a gift.
Now, does the church have an outreach to people in your condition in terms of bad health news for that? I know you obviously reached out to people with disabilities, but is there something the church is doing or maybe could or should be doing for people like yourself, you think?
Well, I'm exploring that. And, you know, having been now a firsthand participant observer, I'm a researcher by trade. I have a PhD in curriculum design and development. So it's on the drawing board. I haven't found it yet, Tony.
Okay.
I think it's an untapped need. I think our local pastors, obviously, you know, my pastor and associate from my own personal parish have been, you know, extraordinarily wonderful. But no, officially, I do not know. And this may cross some lines. You know, this may work into the counselor, psychologist, sociologist kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been, you know, it's so inclined at this point. I'd like to see a ministry like this develop even further.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the founding principles that Father James Keller wanted to promote with the Christophers early on was that if we see a problem in the world, we shouldn't just complain about it. We should take the initiative to make it better. And it sounds like you are taking that initiative to kind of explore this process so, you know, other people in your situation can get the help and support they need because, I mean, they obviously need it, right?
Yes, I would say that what folks tell me is that maybe as little as 40% of the people who are diagnosed with my kind of condition or others or cancer reach out. The oppression that comes from bad news really limits their verve, their strength, and they're kind of lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like that gap needs to be bridged. they probably won't do it on their own. They probably need, you know, folks like me and others to press the opportunities that might be there to lift them up.
Yeah, I'm talking to Deacon Don Grossnickel. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and we're discussing spiritual resilience in the face of bad health news. So let's kind of stay with that topic, because I'm curious, how crucial is the support of others during this? Because I know you have a fairly large family. How have they been able to support you through this and keep your spirits up and keep you optimistic and hopeful?
Well, that's, I would say, at the outset, a mystery of how wonderful that they have been. I mean, I could tell you that they're there for me at every turn. On September the 30th, I will have heart surgery to implant a pacemaker or a defibrillator box, and they're right there with me. They will be physically holding my hand. Certainly my wife is there for my dieting, my medications, that getting to the heart failure clinic every morning, sending my vitals in telemetry. I'm working hard, you know, to stay alive. And so the support system is very important. When I go to the hospital twice a week for a support group to learn and to exercise, I am surrounded by support. And like a deacon for 28 years, I realize the impact that not everybody has this. And so I am now seeing firsthand how valuable it is to lift me up. And before I do go, I feel I really have to be there for others. And I'm just part of a support group now. You know, it's a community, and that's what Christ has given to us. We have each other.
Medically speaking, I want to go to, because you were talking about your doctor telling you about this news before. You know, sometimes doctors nowadays and other medical professionals, they're so rushed, it can be, the patient can just be a collection of symptoms and, you know, move on to the next person, as opposed to being treated like a well-rounded, fully human being. How did your doctors, you know, approach you with this whole process? And what should medical professionals keep in mind when dealing with someone like you and your condition and others who get bad news about the human being, not just the collection of symptoms in front of them?
Well, they walk a tightrope, Tony. They need to be soft, and yet they need to be tough love.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I've lost, as of today, 39 pounds since early 4 months ago, and so the dieting and giving me the reality that I had to have no salt, I had to have no alcohol, very firm.
Mm-hmm.
So my physicians are enlightened. I can say that. Yesterday when I saw my cardiologist, we gave a hug to each other on the way out.
That's good.
That's rare.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be very fortunate that I'm surrounded by cardiologists. I saw the same day, you know, the heart surgeon that's going to do my implant. So I say, find them. Maybe they're rare, but keep looking and take charge. This day and age, I'm telling you that the technology is keeping us alive, and that's the great news. And the great news also would be is that the physicians are looking for people like me who do their part.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only a matter of taking your medicine. You have to be proactive, and which I am, you know, I'm fighting very hard to stay alive, and I wish everyone will find the strength to do so.
Yeah. Well, have you been able to keep up your work as a deacon in the Archdiocese, helping with masses and such?
Oh, yes. My pastor, however, at Our Lady of the Wayside here in Arlington Heights has been unbelievably supportive, and you know, my work in the Archdiocese is not impaired. In fact, if anything, it's been energized now. I have a new dimension, you know, to offer, and so that remains ahead. No, I don't feel like I've been impaired. I'm close to diaconal retirement after 28 years at 70 in our diocese. I couldn't retire. I have a hunch that you know, I have a new ministry now, so.
Yeah.
As long as the Lord gives me time, I have a new project here. Just like I didn't ask for that boy to come into my life with his broken neck, but it led to a whole different dimension. I now work for the Archdiocese outside of parish work. God is showing me the way.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Deacon Don Grossnickel about spiritual resilience. You know, usually when we talk about miracles, we mean the big ones, like a complete and total healing. But I think we also encounter lots of less flashy miracles in our lives, encounters or events or acts of kindness that serve as a grace. Have you been able to see any of those ordinary graces or miracles in your own journey, be it now or even in your work with the Gridiron Alliance?
Yes, many times. I would say, Tony, that when you have a boy 19 years old, you know, who cannot breathe for himself, it's a miracle that when we ask the first question, you know, how could God do this? Okay, was his question to me. Does God still love me? Am I still lovable? You know, we enter into deep theological questions, and it was a miracle. It continued to be a miracle that the boy became a beacon of light, you know, for showing everyone. You know, it was a grand miracle. And, you know, I said to a woman yesterday as we were in a clinic talking about spirituality and heart failure, that it's a miracle, you know, when you can resist the cookie. Okay, it really is. And you see, the little miracles add up. You know, you don't lose weight. There are those, and you know, if I had more time, I could probably recollect and share with you, for instance, the National Football League, you know, reaching out to our boys. One boy, Rocky Clark was his name, and he inspired a new law in the state of Illinois, you know, that required all athletes to be covered with catastrophic injury insurance, so that when the worst happens and you become a broken neck boy, there is some financial aid that comes your way. That was a huge miracle, and the governor worked with me and with Rocky and our whole Gridiron Alliance organization. That was a great miracle that benefited all the athletes in Illinois. So, yes, that's just the beginning of some storytelling.
Sure. Well, I mean, if anybody listening now is facing their own bad news, what would you say are the first steps they should take in order to kind of renew a spirit of hope and optimism in their lives?
Well, I would say that the concept of a spiritual resilience toolbox, okay, since the beginning of their life, they have been falling down and rising up, so they are on their way already. They are not a Humpty Dumpty. They've had great falls throughout their lives, so keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, you know, that the Lord, you know, has promised to share our load, and so get in touch with scriptures. Obviously, listen to programs such as this. Obviously, practice your faith. Obviously, reach out, you know, to learned individuals. Don't be afraid to express your vulnerability, and certainly tap into the fact is that Jesus Christ came into the world to give optimism and hope. So I think the tools are out there. It takes practice to bring them. It's an everyday enterprise, you know, that we're about right now. And I would say to you that, you see, I started at stage four, and my cardiologist is now questioning whether or not I was ever at stage four, because now I'm at stage one or two, or you know, and vacillating in those kinds of directions. And so it takes you know, one step at a time to climb the mountain, and everyone can do it. Everyone can do it. And don't be afraid to reach out to others, and don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to work through your depression and to admit it, and to pray. And don't be a stranger to church. Go, get on your knees. Think about Mother Teresa. Think about all the saints, our traditions. You know, our Catholic legacy is so very rich. And listen to music. There's just so many tools that are there for us.
Yeah. Well, just kind of going along with what you were just talking about, I mean, I think sometimes when people get a bad health diagnosis, the inclination is to take it easy, to rest and recuperate. But from your life, I also get a sense that, you know, the fact that you have this sense of purpose, that you're able to do something for other people, is helping you heal in a matter. Would you say that developing a sense of purpose in spite of the diagnosis is also an important step?
Yes, Tony, it's very, very important that we work through the question of why did God allow us to be born from the beginning? Mm-hmm. And while we still have time, how have we accomplished things? and don't get into a guilt that we, you know, have not accomplished what we could have or should have. The question is now. And while there is time, whether we are diagnosed with a serious condition, we have power. And God is gifting us to use that power and to dance with the Lord, to carry out everything that we can see. You know, I look at people who are blind or born deaf, and I say, how do they do it? They have so much more to teach me. Yeah. So it's not a matter of the burden. It really is a matter of the journey ahead. And yeah, it's so clear to me. It's so very clear to me.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Deacon Don Grossnickel about spiritual resilience. He's dealing with his own acute heart failure diagnosis, but I think he's given a lot of great insight and advice today on how to deal with that kind of news in your own life. And even we can apply this news to our everyday lives, because all of us need a sense of purpose and we need to be in relationship with God. So I think a lot of the things he said can be applied not only to those who are sick, but to just the average person as well. And I want to thank Deacon Don for sharing his story. And I also want to invite him to share with us a closing prayer that he saw on Facebook yesterday, and it really, I think, would put a nice capper to this interview.
Well, thank you, Tony, and thank you for the listeners that have stayed with me. Picture in your mind the paralyzed man being lifted down to the Lord, and the Lord gave a miracle and chased away his paralysis. So we pray, dear God, we lift up all those who are facing illness today. Your word says that you are the healer. So today we ask that you touch your children and strengthen them in mind and body and soul. Remove every fear and anxiety and replace it with your sense of peace. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Deacon Don. Now before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Every once in a while, we come face to face with someone who has borne the weight of the world on their shoulders without losing hope or crumbling under the pressure. How are some people able to cope in circumstances that would debilitate the rest of us? The short answer is that their perseverance is grounded in faith. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Persevering Through Pain and Struggle. It shares stories and reflections that will help you endure challenging times by relying on the promise of God's love. To request your free copy of Persevering Through Pain and Struggle, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.